Barb, I didn't forget. I have it right here in front of me. One last announcement before I get into my sermon. On Thursday, September 12th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., there's going to be a produce pickup at the Keystone LaGrange Library. It's part of a mental health awareness training. So if you want some produce, September 12th is your day from 6:30 to 7:30 at the library. Go ahead, Barb. Well, that's what I just read. Mental health awareness, well, QPR, okay. So okay, after the produce pickup. I'm sorry. I guess I can't read. I am from West Virginia, right? So, I just highlighted the big words. This is what I did. So, okay, let me read this correctly. Thursday, September 12th, from 6:30 to 7:30, after produce pickup. Okay, so there you go. We'll hang this in the back so you can read it yourselves. Hey, little self-deprecation never hurts, right? So, all right. I'm a better preacher than I am a reader. Oh, baby. What are we in for today? So, oh, Lord, have mercy on us all. Okay. Well, last week, if you were with us, I said we'd be looking over the next couple weeks of looking into different individuals throughout the Bible who are just like us. A lot of times we think of them to be almost like super saints, that they're more godlike than what they are human. And how could they do such extraordinary things? And how could I do what they did? I mean, a lot of times that's what we think, you know. We hold them up on such a pedestal and say, man, I can't, there's no way I could do the things that some of these people did. Well, beloved, that's just the wrong view to look at. They were just like us. They were not more God than they were human. They were just human beings where God worked extraordinary gifts through them. So this morning, this might seem like a review of a message, and in many ways it is. But a couple things happened, was going on this week, and it was kind of nice because the person who helps me, which is Sharon, who sets up all of my IT screens and everything, was going in for an eye operation. I also had a big project due for seminary. But knowing that I was working on this sermon series to look at the weakness of biblical individuals who are just like me and you, well, I couldn't think of a better person to start with than Samson. Because this man was flawed in so many ways, but yet God would continue to use him up until his death. So we look at Samson and his life. Was it tragedy or triumph? It's the title of the message. And this morning's opening scripture comes out of the book of Judges, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And the word of God says this: again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man named Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel into the hands of the Philistines." For this is the word of God for the people, God. Praise be to God. So what will we learn about this man named Samson? Hear this quote from John Wesley. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Sounds like a lot of truth there, does it not? You know, we see that right now being displayed in our time. And we wonder why we had to separate as a denomination. We can no longer tolerate what was being handed down. And the same thing could be said for even Samson in his time. But God was going to deal with Samson, because Samson was doing things that were not of God or what God had called him to do. And God would no longer tolerate his sin. So again, what will we learn about Samson? Now, Samson was the man who God, he was the man of God who lost the Spirit of God, but he did not realize he had lost it. But as we engage in Samson's story, at the final end, Samson will rediscover the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. As we know, this can happen to any one of us, beloved. None of us are void of this problem. Now, beloved, it's a terrible problem to be so spiritually insensitive and not be able to recognize when the Spirit of God is not with us. Now, Samson was the man who had everything going from him from birth, and then almost simply throw it all away. No one could have had a better start at life. No man had more equipment than he did, more blessing. And to our astonishment, he simply almost throws it away and nearly almost ends in complete disaster. So today, I would like to look at three things of Samson's life. Now, two of them I'll be able to do today, and I'll have to do the last one next week. But I want us to be able to look at his strength and the secret of it, to look at his weakness and why his anointing or power would drain away, and to look at this magnificent final end next week, the triumph of his life, which I call his strength and weakness. When God can give a man his strength, love, and weakness, then God really has someone that he can do something with and work with. So who was Samson? Why did God raise up Samson in the time and the hour he did? First things first, I want to ask you this question. Now, again, many of you weren't here last year when I preached that. But some of you were, and you know who you were. But when you first think of the name Samson, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? What picture shows up in your mind? Now, for many of us, from our childhood, we hold an image of a guy such as like Atlas, who holds the world on his back. But I'd like to suggest to you something a little different, that he maybe didn't quite look the way we think he was to look. And we'll talk about that a little later in the sermon. So who was Samson? Why did God raise him in this hour of history? Samson was raised up by God to be the answer to a national crisis in his time. Only when you see and understand this can we truly understand the battle that God had to have with Samson in order to get him into the place where he could use him. Now, God wasn't in this battle to battle with the Philistines. His battle was with Samson, and we need to recognize that. because God's going to use Samson, once he gets him in the place he wants to handle the Philistines. So only at that place, when God can get him molded to the place he needs Samson, then Samson now can do something about the national crisis at hand. So that's the backdrop, beloved. Many people want to tell us the stories about who? Samson and... It's not. Although she's a significant part of it. She's a highly significant part. Let's not get that wrong. But it's about God and Samson and the Philistines, and Delilah's in the middle of it. Because there was more than one woman there old Samson was dealing with. Although these relationships he had with women are an important part of the story, again, they're not the main reason to what happened to Samson. It was about God breaking Samson down in order to use him for a greater purpose. Samson had to come to the end of himself and recognize God and not take for granted all the gifts he had received. Samson had to die to self, as we all must do, in order to inherit the spiritual blessings and the spiritual riches that come from the Lord Jesus, who wants to bestow them upon us. So back to verse 1 in chapter 13, what is happening in Israel? Listen to the words. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, beloved, I'm sure we all can recognize in this room, 40 years is a long time to be under enemy occupation. One of the greatest ironies of all history is, as God was bringing Israel into the promised land from the east, he was bringing in the Philistines from the west. At the same time, God knew what he was doing. So from Crete, a maritime people, to settle upon this coastal plain, and it was God who brings them in from that west, and he was bringing Israel from the east, he was doing this to use the Philistines to be a thorn in the flesh of Israel to discipline them. And this has been going on to this very day. Now, in the Gaza Strip, we're having a major crisis right now in Israel, are we not? And who are the people in the Gaza Strip? The Palestinians. The Palestinians, historically, are the Philistines, and still being a thorn in the flesh of Israel. Think about that, beloved. The Philistines built five great cities, from the Ashkelon gates to Gaza. And then from the plain they would go up into the hills and to attack and hopefully overthrow the Israelites. That was their goal. The battlefield, or the low foothills, were what they called the Shephelah, where the young man Samson was born. And this is the setting of the story. So let's ask, beloved, why did God bring in the Philistines to harass Israel? The reason was so that God could have an instrument on the spot to bring correction and discipline to Israel when they would disobey. And we see God do this all the time. Have you ever wondered why certain people enter your life? I know I have, and certain individuals who have landed in mine, and they sure weren't that welcoming to be there. But it was to bring correction to me. It's not fun. It usually doesn't feel good. It's rubbing. It's irritating and uncomfortable. Until we recognize God, who is trying to shape us and transform us into the person he wants us to be, so that he can eventually use us for his glory. So let me say this, beloved. When God disciplines, there is always going to be a limit to the discipline. So here we are, after 40 years of decline and enemy occupation of the Philistines, God is raising up Samson to step into history and become the answer to the national crisis. So now you have the context. So let's look at his strength and the secret of it. Great strength was going to be what was going to be needed to be the leader of Israel at this time. And most portrayals of this man, Samson, again, I feel are mistaken. I do not believe that he was the Atlas type of man with huge bulging muscles carrying the gates of Gaza down the road. I believe he was a normal fellow. Very inconspicuous, normal build, your average guy. Right, Brian? Just an average guy. Plain old guy. Why do I say this? Why can I make such a claim? Now, Delilah, imagine her. Can you imagine Delilah asking someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger, what's the secret to your strength? Don't you think it would be a little bit obvious? They wouldn't have to ask, what is the secret to your strength? I believe Samson probably didn't look all that menacing and strong. The great gospel secret is the Holy Spirit can give extraordinary gifts to any man or any woman that are incapable of doing in the humanity for themselves. The Spirit comes upon you, and we can do things we never thought we could ever do. That's the secret. It's God. This was a great secret that puzzled Samson's contemporaries of his time. They looked at him and thought, how can he do such things? Again, to look at him, he was incapable to do such feats. They probed, they pestered, they questioned, they manipulated, they threatened until they could get the answer to their question. What was the secret of his strength? His strength, though, beloved, began before he was born. Samson's parents were given supernatural promises before he was born to how he was to be raised. In verse 3, it says, because he's a Nazarite, he'll be raised this way. Drink no wine or other fermented drinks. Eat nothing unclean. Never cut his hair. His parents were given these promises because if they raised Samson in a particular way, he would one day be able to be that instrument that the Lord would use to deliver Israel from the occupation of the Philistines. So how does his development begin? It began most likely amongst his family and his friends and his neighbors who lived around him. It's simply this, before any of us can do any exploits for the Lord, it always starts in the home, amongst those in whom know us best. Just like here at this church, in the various Bible studies, small groups, outreaches, Sunday school. These are the places where it should be safe for us to mature and grow in before we go out to meet the Philistines in battle. Beloved, it's simply this. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on a person, they then can perform abilities to their human nature otherwise incapable of doing. So what were some of these great exploits to Samson? Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. Samson kills 30 men. Samson captures 300 foxes and ties their tails together. So obviously he was also quick. Scripture says that he killed many men. Samson kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Samson carries the gates of Gaza on his shoulders a distance of 30 miles. Lastly, Samson was also considered a great escape artist of his day. He escaped from ropes, from strings, and having his hair tied into a heavy loom. But with all that strength, there came two conditions. The first condition was Samson would have to live differently from other people. He would have to be socially different. Secondly, Samson would need to grow his hair long to be an external sign to others so they would recognize he was set apart and could not drink alcohol, for he was dedicated unto God. Beloved, Samson was not only to live differently, but also to live a dedicated life unto the Lord, to be totally at God's disposal, and then God could use him. Only Samson had kept, he kept these simple rules, he would have never failed. But he did. And he would have had complete success and victory throughout his whole life if he could have just kept those few things in line. But as for us, we know his story. We know there was a void in his life where all the great stain simply just drained out and his weakness came in. So now let's take a moment and look at his weakness and why his power drained away. Beloved, one thing that can be said about the Bible, that it does not spare us from weakness in our human condition. The first evidence of Samson's weakness is seen when he kills the lion, when he is in search of a bride-to-be. And while Samson was on his way to negotiate for a wife, a lion comes out of the Shephelah, the low foothills. Without any hesitation, Samson tears the lion in half. Later on, Samson was on his way to the wedding and thought he'd like to go see where that lion was that he killed. And when he came upon the corpse of the lion, he saw something that surprised him, a colony of honeybees had taken up residence inside of the carcass of the lion and created a large honeycomb. There was another thing that I didn't mention. To be a Nazarite, you were never to touch any dead thing. And Samson quickly had already defied it because he reaches in and takes a scoop of the honey out. And now he's defiled himself. He couldn't resist temptation. And you will see this come up again and again in his character. Now, what you may or may not know is that Samson, again, as a natural, he has strict vows, and he is not to disobey them, but he did. This is the first occasion, beloved, I'm getting ready to close, where we see Samson without any thought, without any prayer, completely impulsive, reaches into the carcass of the lion and takes out the honey. So here we are at their wedding day. And Samson had groomsmen like we have groomsmen. He had 30 of them, though. I bet you don't have 30. Imagine having to buy wedding gifts for 30 men. He had 30 men to attend him. So Samson, feeling very full of himself, very arrogant, he says to his attendants, "I'll make a bet with you. If you can answer my riddle, I will give you each 30 sets of clothes. If you can't answer it, I will give you 30 sets of clothes." We are now beginning to see another shaky part of his character. Samson's a gambler. And the riddle is this, and I'll leave you with this, and we'll come back to this next week and finish this up. The riddle he asked was this: out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Beloved, like Samson, as I opened with this earlier today, it's a sad thing when we don't recognize when the Spirit of God is no longer with us, that we become so spiritually insensitive. We become so used to going through the motions that we think we're in the Spirit of God. We think that the anointing is still with us, and maybe it's gone. We are just doing the things. Beloved, don't allow that to be you. Don't allow that to be our church. We do not want to tolerate that spirit of indifference. We want to feel the presence of God. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to be able to feel you. We want to be able to see you. We want to feel your presence upon us. Father, if there is a dullness on our spirit today, Father, I pray you remove it in the name of Christ Jesus. Lord, that you would bring joy and passion to our lives in you. That you would fill us with your spirit so we can know the things of your will, so that we can go out of these doors, and if need to, Lord, we can go into battle. Oh, Father, go before us, lead our way, be our protector and be our shield and our sword. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you please.